Thank the Lord for the privilege of being here for a beautiful day. I'd like to read in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Chapter 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Chapter 18 and verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And ye call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar that was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, that they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, "Come near unto me," and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So Elijah prepared his sacrifice and even had it soaked with water. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." The question this evening is, where is your God? We have a choice of a lot of different gods, don't we? But it would be a real good idea to choose carefully, because if we choose the wrong God, at the time we need God the most, we'll have no answer. Elijah said, "Cry aloud, for He is a God. Either He is talking or pursuing, or He is in a journey, or peradventure He sleepeth and must be awakened." These prophets of Baal needed a God very badly, because this was the last day of their life. And I'm thinking about how serious it is when we need God. We need Him so badly, we need Him to answer us. So it pays us very well to choose the correct God. You think about the gods that people are choosing today. Are they gods that are going to be with them? What about the God of this world? The scripture says, "The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So if the world passes away and we make this world our God, we choose the God of this world, what's going to happen when we need God so badly? You think about the God, or I should say goddess of fashion. A lot of people are following after that goddess today. But it seems so vain, because the beauty of youth goes away. It fades with time. Our bodies decay in the grave. So the goddess of fashion is not a very reliable goddess as well. What about the God of money? People are pursuing after money, but the scripture says in James, "Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped together treasures for the last days." So the God of money is not a reliable God for us to serve. It's not a God that will be with us in our time of greatest need. What about the God of pleasure? Many people are pursuing the God of pleasure today. Do you think that God will be there in our hour of greatest need? When it comes to the last hour of our lives, will that God be there? Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." There's coming a time in life that the things that people pursued with all their hearts, gave their time for, gave their health for, those things will no longer bring pleasure. So the God of pleasure is not a good God for us to focus our hopes, our time. Where is your God? Cry aloud. Maybe He's on a journey. Maybe He's asleep. People get desperate in a time of need, don't they? The day came that the Lord was going to take Elisha home. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. "It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked an hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fires and horses of fire and parted them asunder. Wouldn't that have been a place to be? A scene to witness. And parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, a sign of mourning. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Do you think the Lord God of Elijah was there with Elisha? Do you suppose he had to cry aloud and cut himself and pray until the evening sacrifice? Or do you think the Lord God of Elijah answered him? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Where is the God of Elijah? I believe that God will be there for us in our hour of need if we give ourselves to the Lord God of heaven. We have a choice of which gods we choose in this life, which gods we're going to count on to be there in our hour of need. Jesus had been crucified, and his disciples were in emotional upheaval. They were devastated. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things? The arrest of Jesus, his crucifixion, his whipping, the fake trial, the fact that Jesus had been buried. They were talking about all of these things, and it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him, and he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Where is your God when you need him? We thought this was going to be our Redeemer. We thought we could count on him. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonish, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Where is your God when you need him? And they said unto them, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? When they told him, this is the third day since these things were done, do you think that should have given them some clue? Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again. So the fact that it was the third day, the fact that he was missing from the tomb could have given them a clue, and the fact that Jesus had told them these things would happen. But instead, Christ, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That must have been so comforting to realize we thought our God was missing. We thought that somehow his plan of being our Redeemer failed. But then to realize here he is. He is with us again. Must have been such a great blessing. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Where is our God when we need him? I believe he'll be right there for us, don't you? If we're serving the right Lord, he's a very present help in time of need. He knows when we're walking along the road to Emmaus, when we're sad. He knows when life is difficult, and he knows just the right time to show up and inspire our faith. John chapter 20 and verse 11. Mary loved the Lord very much. Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Do you think that image stayed with Mary the rest of her life, looking in that empty sepulchre and seeing two angels? And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Where is God when you need him? When you're there weeping. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." What a time of awakening. What a time of feeling the comfort of God. To recognize the empty tomb was not the end of it. That Jesus himself was there. That Jesus cared about the sorrow that she was going through. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God." Do you know which Mary this was? This was Mary Magdalene that was delivered from 7 devils. She was healed of evil spirits and infirmities, according to the scriptures. And this may have been the same Mary that anointed Jesus' feet, who washed his feet with her tears, tears of repentance, who dried his feet with her hair. This may have been that same woman. And to that woman, Jesus, speaking about that woman, Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Doesn't this man know what manner of a woman this is that touches him? She's a sinner. Well, when you have many sins and they are forgiven, that gives you great cause to love the Lord. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I think we have proof that Mary Magdalene loved the Lord so much for her to show up at that tombstone that day. And when the others left, she stayed there. And as a result, she got to see such a heavenly vision. She got to interact with angels. Anybody here had that privilege? She got to interact with the Lord himself, resurrected. Wow. What a memory. What a blessing. She loved very much. Where is your God when you need him? If you love the real Lord and he knows it, he'll be there for you. I'd like to turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Mary loved Jesus. She was seeking him. She went to the only place that she knew to go to find Jesus. And she was there weeping. I will rise now. And I believe it was real early in the morning too. I will rise now. I will go about the city in the streets, in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Where is God when you're looking for him? Where is your God? The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I imagine Mary felt that way that day. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. What a blessing when you're looking for God, when you feel like you need God so desperately, to feel like you've actually found him and that you can take him home. Where was God when the three Hebrew children were in such trouble? When they got thrown into the fiery furnace, where was God then? He allowed them to get into the furnace, didn't he? But then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he arose in haste. And he spake unto his counselors and said, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Where is God when you need him? Where is your God? Is he there when you have a fiery furnace? Such a blessing to recognize that the Lord will be right there with us. Where is your God tonight? Paul was on Mars Hill preaching to the heathen. They had so many idols. And there was one on whom the inscription was, to the unknown God. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 23. Where is God? Is he unknown? Are we able to find him? Acts 17 and 23, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all the nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Notice this. Though he be not far from every one of us. Where is God? All these idols. Let's make a goddess to Venus. Let's make a god to Jupiter. Let's make all these idols. And let's worship each one, a god of Mars and all these different ones, in the hopes that we've covered it all. And then in case we've missed one, to the unknown God. Where is that God? Well, he's so close to each one of us, Paul tried to explain to them. Where is God for a nation that is in trouble? For us, when we get in trouble in our own lives, where is God? He's not far away. We need to feel after him. We need to choose the right God. I'd like to leave you with a few promises that Jesus gave us. In Matthew chapter 28 and 20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." We don't have to worry about the Lord being gone on some far journey, do we? Or that he's asleep, or that he's pursuing. Jesus promised us that he will be with us even unto the end of the world. Paul gave us a promise that we don't find in the Gospels, but apparently it's something that Jesus said. Paul says that Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is that comforting to anyone? Can you imagine being a prophet of Baal, crying aloud, cutting yourselves, recognizing I'm in a serious situation here? I find it very comforting to have the Lord say to me, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Another promise of Jesus, Matthew 18 and 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We can find comfort in that. Did you know that people in persecuted countries, if they meet together, two or three, in his name, the Lord will be right there with them? Where is God when we need him? Right there with us. If we'll serve him, if we'll feel after him, if we'll search for him with our whole hearts, the Lord can be found. May God bless you.